Welcome to the Nutritional Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Kyla Chanel. I'm a performance nutritionist specializing in sex differences in sport. I work with athletes from all over the world through my online private practice and sports nutrition programs. We here at Nutritional Revolution are here to cut through the BS promoted in the media and give you the science, literally straight from the research articles, as well as share client success stories and experiences around nutrition and racing. Please keep in mind, this podcast is created strictly for educational purposes only and should never be used as a replacement for medical diagnosis and treatment. If you like what you hear today, we would love for you to subscribe and share. Hey, did you know that as a new customer of Nutritional Revolution, you can save 10% off any meal plan, recipe book, training guide, or program we offer on our website? If you use the code NEWNR10, that's NEWNR10, you can save 10% off your first order as a new customer. Our most popular meal plan is our one-week meal plan, and this comes with three main meals, two snacks, lays out your whole 7 days of the week, how to prep, gives you a grocery list, breaks down energy breakdown for each recipe and day, as well as macronutrient breakdown if you're curious about protein, carbohydrate, and fat totals, and your vitamin and mineral breakdown. So don't miss this opportunity to save 10% off. Check the link in the show notes to get directed right to our site and use that code NEWNR10. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Nutritional Revolution Podcast. Today we have for you guys German bike shop owner Carolyn Schiff, who exploded on the U.S. gravel scene in 2023 when she won the Unbound gravel race. But she was no stranger to the bike. She has a background in triathlon, road biking, and cyclocross. Carolyn enjoyed a successful career in Europe on the road, but it was in 2023 that she joined the Canyon Gravel Team and started the season with a massive win at the UCI Gravel World Series in Spain, followed by taking the top spot at the Traca 200 and then taking second at the UCI Gravel World Series. Then she came to the States with a win at Gravel Locos in Texas before heading to Unbound. As the season starts for 2024, Carolyn looks forward to taking on several races in Europe and the States and defending her title at Unbound Gravel. You guys are going to love this episode. We sure did. Welcome back, everybody. We are super excited to have with us Carolyn Schiff. We, Amanda and I, both have a friend named Carolyn as well, and she is from Germany, right, Amanda?
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah. You are tuning in from Germany, you said?
Yes, from the north of Germany, from Bremen.
Oh, and is it cold in Germany right
now? It's around 10 degrees, but very gray and some rain, so yeah. Not the nicest weather. I prefer to stay somewhere else for training.
Yeah.
I switch a bit between Mallorca and Bremen.
Oh, nice. A beautiful. Amazing. Okay, well, as our listeners know, our Two Truths and a Lie, we usually start out with that. So before we start learning too much about your routines, history, all that fun stuff, why don't you go ahead and break down for us your Two Truths and a Lie?
Yes. So when I was a teenager, I hated cycling and preferred to lay on the beach during holidays.
Okay.
So that's the first. I did most of my school time on a Catholic private school and was taught by nuns.
Okay.
And I like playing chess during my free time.
Okay. Okay. These are all good ones. We've never had.
So it's not all so much sport. I thought it's maybe nice.
This is great.
From the normal life.
Yes, I love it. This is, yeah. And they're all very unique ones too. I think I could see the first one being true. I think I'm on your level on that one too. When I was a teen, just want to chillax, hang out with my friends. Yes. Catholic school taught by nuns. What do you think, Amanda? What are you leaning towards?
I'm gonna go with the chess. Like maybe it's a different, like maybe like backgammon or For
something,
checkers.
some other game or something.
Uno,
I went to
maybe.
private Catholic school, so I'm gonna go with that one.
Okay. I feel like maybe, yeah, I'm gonna go with Amanda on this one, but don't tell us the answer yet,
Yeah, I feel
Kylan.
like
We'll reveal it for the answers at the
gamble.
end. We're thinking the lie is the chess, but we will see. So why don't you, and this might reveal some of your truths or lies, who knows? But take us back a little bit. Where'd you grow up? What got you excited about getting on a bike and cycling and competing?
Yes, I grew up in Germany in Hannover, so it's near where I now live, like 100 kilometers. I think for US for the US people, it's really near. For us, it's far away, but yeah, it's not too far. And I grew up with I went to a swimming school, so that was my first sports. I did competitive. So I have a brother and a sister, and
Are
yeah,
you oldest, middle, or
I'm
youngest?
the middle.
Middle,
So
awesome.
yeah, I have a younger brother and an older sister, and my sister already has two children, so I
Oh,
have
wow.
two nephews, and yeah,
Nice.
they are really
Awesome.
cute. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And with the swimming, what did you do that all through, like, was it high school or what do they call it something different in Germany? I'm actually not sure.
I stopped pretty early because I think I was like 10 or 11 when I stopped, and I started with 4 because we moved to another town and my parents were not so supportive with my sports. They had a bit other plans for me, so they don't wanted to to take me to the swimming pool, and then I had to stop. I think that was really a shame because I had some talent, and then I stopped doing sports at all. So that was, I think that's also a little bit, it's a shame, but now it is like it is, and I found it back. But
And how old were you when you got like interested in getting on the bike more often and then like racing?
That was pretty late. I think when I was starting with racing, I was already 21 and started on the bike with 18 because before I was running just for fun and some competitions, but I had a knee injury then, and then I bought my first bike and did it like recovery for running. And then I discovered that it's also nice, and did triathlon. Then I knew, or I met my boyfriend or my partner now, and he was a bike racer. So then I started racing my bike and did lots of competitions, did it on the international level, and then
That's
I
cool.
found gravel racing.
And was there much gravel happening at the time, like near you in Germany at all, or was your first gravel in the United States?
Gravel started in Germany with, I think, with Corona. I did my first gravel event. It was near Germany in the Czech Republic in 2020. It was also very long. It was not a real race, but also I did it competitive, and I discovered that these long distances and this adventure character is something I really like. But then I returned to road racing because I was in a team and did not follow the gravel path. And here we did not have that much events for gravel. It started in 2022, and 2023, when I started, was the first season where there was really a race calendar for us, also here in Europe. But my first gravel race was actually, my first real gravel race was in the Netherlands. It was an UCI gravel race I did in end of 2022. And I won this one. So that was also nice. And then 2023 started. Yeah. And then it was a great season.
In 2023, did you do the whole Grand Prix like series?
No, I just did Unbound
Okay.
because I wasn't really in all the, I did not know a lot about everything like
Yeah.
that. I did not know that there's a lifetime Grand Prix. I
Mm-hmm.
just started and I had the contract with Canyon because they trusted me.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they did not know if I can race well or not, but they gave me all the trust.
Wow.
And I started and then I went to Unbound, which was the most important race for Canyon and also for me. And when I won it, then we saw, okay, it's good. It's
That's awesome. Wow, that's great. And I definitely want to dive into the 2023 Unbound situation because I know it was like every type of weather under the sun. But before we get down kind of into that rabbit hole, I kind of learning more about you and reading some articles, there was mentions of kind of like a regular like or maybe like a recurrent injury stuff that was going on. Was that ha it happening in cycling for you or was that kind of like way back with the running and the knee stuff?
No, the knee was okay when I started cycling, and then it was fine. I had a lot bad luck during my whole cycling career with injuries. First, I was hit by a car very hard.
Oh no.
So yeah, then I wasn't able. It was in 2014.
Wow.
At this time I made the step into the national team here in Germany, and I had the chance to race international for the first time in the national jersey. I was very proud of it, and then this
Wow.
happened, and
Oh
I was
man.
completely out. And
Wow.
I thought, okay, I want to stop cycling, but then after half a year, I discovered that that I love cycling and started again. And
Yeah.
then I built up again and was good again. And then I had like three other collarbone or broken collarbones in
Oh
the.
man,
So,
ouch.
yeah, it was like every time when I was fit or something really good happened, I broke my collarbone. It's part of my whole career, I think. It was also, I mean, maybe you saw it last year also. Before words, I
Yeah.
was really in a good shape and I broke my collarbone. So I don't know what's going on, but I
Shoot.
have a special talent for crashing when it's when there's a when I'm in a good shape and there are
Yeah.
opportunities for me.
Yeah. I have seen that. That's interesting you bring that up. I think it was kind of towards the end of, was it last year, Amanda, where we had, I think like our clients were like getting really fit. They're getting really like confident and you know, fitness was really high towards the end of the season. And then they're kind of like going a little bit faster, taking a little bit more risks. And we had two clients like relatively close to each other, but in time, but like one lives in a like several states over from another and they don't know one another, but one crashed and breaks his collarbone. I think he was trying to send a jump, like show off on his birthday, unfortunately. And then another one that crashed on the road, and he had, you know, a lot of broken bones and stuff like ribs and wrist and but yeah, I was yours towards the end of the season as well, or was it?
Yeah, it was just I just had European Championships. It was right before the race and then Worlds. But yeah, the bad thing was that I was in altitude camp and put a lot effort or a big effort in getting into my best shape ever.
Man.
And then this happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
Shoot.
don't, yeah, it's like it is, and I can deal with it. So I learned from my previous injuries to deal with it and to
Yeah.
get back, and that it's not too bad for me. I really know how to come back. So that's
Yeah.
the good thing that I'm so used in it.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the mindset around an injury can, yeah, really make or break an athlete, depending on how they approach it. So, I mean, that's a big learning experience and takeaway. Mentally, how have you shifted your mindset around the injury or those like the last injury you had to kind of like help yourself get through it?
Yeah, it was for me. First I saw, okay, shit, and why me, and all the bad thoughts. But then I just thought, okay, I need to be thankful for everything that happened during the season, And I had a great season. I had so great moments, and my life, changed a lot during the season into a good way for me. And I just had to take these thoughts and don't care about everything else. And yeah, a collarbone is something that heals pretty well. So there, you can have worse things, I think. So
yeah,
that's how I
absolutely.
Deal with it, and then it's fine.
Yeah, good for you. I think that's like that's such a powerful mindset, honestly, to have, and I think that's a winning mindset to be able to see the wins and the silver lining in situations like that can really help you get through it that much faster. And yeah, I think that's awesome. With injuries from a nutrition and or like movement standpoint, were you doing like indoor trainer rides? Were you adjusting your nutrition or supplementation routine to help with the recovery process? What was that like?
Yeah, I try to to support my body with more like calcium. That's what the doctors told me that I maybe need to focus on that. But in general, I just try to eat as good as possible and as much as possible that my body has all the all
awesome.
The I don't know how to say all the vitamins and
yeah.
It needs for the recovery, and then it's fine. I think you don't need to do special things if you are healthy.
I think you gotta just make sure you're hitting all the, like you're saying, like the building blocks for that thing that's broken. So if it's bone, then the calcium, and just making sure you're getting in enough energy to help repair that thing. So that's great. And then let's see. So let's now we can kind of like jump forward in time a little bit to last year's Unbound. When you were from an overall like training and racing view of last year, was Unbound like your A race for the year? Was there other races that you were doing leading up to that race, or what was that like?
Unbound was actually my most important race, and we marked this into the calendar as as the A race. Also because Canyon was supporting it, or it was also part of the contract that this is the most important race. Before I knew Unbound, but I did not know that it's so important for everyone and also for the brands and everything. Yeah, and before Unbound, I had the Trucker in Girona, like a race which was also very important, but more like a like a training or training for Unbound. But I was able to win that too, and it was my first real long race because Trucker is 200 kilometers. And so that was like a test. And I noticed that it works really well and that I have the shape. And then I did Gravelokos. It was 250. It was even longer. And then I saw, okay, I can do that. And then I knew that I'm in shape for Unbound.
That's awesome. Was the Trekka, is that a multi-day event, or is it with the Spain one just one?
There are different routes or tracks, but we did the 200 kilometers and it's one day. I think I did it in 6 hours 30.
Wow.
And for this year, they have also a very long race. It's probably about 1 or 2 days then.
Oh, wow.
Depends on the guys who, if they want to sleep or not. But
that's great. And so with Unbound, kind of last year, you had your Canyon sponsor gear, all the gear figured out, kind of prepping for something like that and having had that experience of Gravelokos and Trekka. How were you from a transportation perspective? Were you planning at stopping at any of the aid stations, or were you going to carry everything on you the whole way?
No, we made the plan with Canyon. They had a support team in all the two aid stations, and I made a strict plan with what I take at which time. So I had a backpack with hydration, and I changed that backpack in the first aid station. And I changed also my bottles. So yeah, I had a really strict plan with how many cups and liquid I take at what
Nice.
time.
Yeah. Did you from a with your pack bladder, is that a 4 liter that you were carrying or?
It's 1.5 liter,
Oh, 1.5.
the
Wow.
backpack. Yeah. And
Yeah.
I changed it in the first, and in the second I gave it away. So I had two of them, and
Yeah.
then I had the bottle changes in every feed station
Wow.
completely.
Nice. Do you do
Yeah.
two bottles on your bike?
Yes, two
Yeah.
bottles, and one big and one small, because my bike is so small, I can't carry too big.
Yeah, I know that situation. And with kind of from a energy standpoint perspective, what products are you using or did you use an Unbound that worked well for you from a fueling perspective?
Yeah, I have my partner Morten.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So yeah, I completely use their products, and I'm really good with the drink mix, because I think it's perfect to fill during the race, that you can take it yeah, like with a drink, the cups, and then I use the gels in the race, and that's
Nice.
it. I
Yeah.
just use drink mix and gels.
Wow. And with your bladder, do you put Martin drink mix in your bladder, or is that do you keep that plain water usually?
No, I also put drink mix in.
Yeah,
First
that's
in Tracker, I just did water, but I saw that it's or in another race, Tracker, not in another race. I started with just doing with water, because I thought maybe it's not so hygienic to do a drink mix in. But for Unbound, I put drink mix in because I needed the carbs.
Yeah. And did you have to add any electrolyte product on top of that? I know Martin
No.
has not the highest amount of sodium, but you were
Yeah,
fine.
I did not add something, so I
Nice.
don't have any problems with that. So for
Yeah.
me, it's fine like it is.
That's good.
I
Do you, I know Martin has two types, right? The, was it the 160 and the 320 or something like that? Their
Yes.
drink mixes.
Yeah.
Which one do you kind of prefer that works well for you, or do you mix them up?
Yeah, for the race, I always choose 320, and in training, I it depends how intense my training session is.
Yeah, well, that's great. And Martin has the caffeinated
Yes.
gels too. Do you use
Yeah.
those on course at all? And if so, how do you time those?
Yeah, I really like the cough gels. And I use them during the race, up to three four of them, not more, because then it's a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And I prefer to take them, yeah, to the end of the race. And I always, half an hour before, I would like to have the impact of them.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, for me, it's really going well.
That's great. Yeah. And with something like Unbound, I have to ask, what did you think when you hit the mud section? Did you just bike right through it, or how did you know that was going to be there?
No, it was crazy. I
Yeah.
knew that there's mud, and
Yeah.
I knew that a lot of people made a really big deal before of it, and I
Yeah.
thought, okay, it's mud, it can't be so bad, because I'm a cyclocross racer here in during winter time, and I know mud. But yeah, I did not know that much, so when I went in, my bike was completely blocked, and yeah, it was crazy. I thought, yeah, that can be really bad in the end, because you can have mechanicals, and yeah. But yeah, I was really happy when I went out of the mud section, but I did not know where I am in the race and what I'm doing. So I just keep pedaling.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I
That's
think
great.
after 100 kilometers, I found the front of the race then.
Nice. And with the mud situation, did you were you trying to like get it off of your bike or with like the
Yeah.
paint sticks? I know people had
Yeah,
to.
I had nothing with me.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, that was a bit bad plan, because one friend of mine, he asked me in the morning if I have something with me, and I was like, ah, I don't need. So
Yeah.
I went without anything, and
Oh
then I
man.
did it with my fingers, And it worked, but yeah, my nails were done in the end.
Oh, man. And did you have to walk your bike at all in any of that section, or were you over in the grass?
Partly I was able to ride in on the side in the grass,
Nice.
but there were also really big stones. So one
Ooh.
time I really crashed on that stone and went over the handlebar.
Oh, no.
It was just luck that my wheel did not break.
Or your collarbone again.
Or my collarbone again. That was even would be even worse. But then I always, you had to really figure out when is the time to try to ride again the bike, because if you are too early and the mud is really bad, then you have the same thing with all the mud on the bike again and have to clean it again. So it was really like checking before if you are able to ride.
Wow, goodness. we did the Unbound, but like not the 200 last year, and we came across the mud after like hundreds of thousands of people had already smashed through it, so it was a disaster. But quite the environmental conditions at that race too. Were you out there still when it like was hailing and rain?
Yeah, it
Yes.
started in the end. There was another mud section, I think 40 km before the end of the race. And then also the big thunderstorm started and it was crazy. I thought maybe it's not very secure anymore here, everything, but okay, I have to go. But I also saw people on the side which were not or which stopped because they were afraid, I think.
Such a wild one. And from a hydration and fueling perspective, thinking about the different environmental conditions, because I think at one point too they clocked the heat during the day, it was like 108 degrees too, so it like got really hot. And yeah, that's a wild one to so you didn't within that race, like you never experienced any like muscle cramping or any GI issues or anything like that with those varying temperature.
No,
No,
nothing. That
that's
was really,
awesome.
that was awesome. The only thing I had was back pain, but that was because of the running with a bike, I
Oh
think. And
gosh, yeah.
because I was not used to do that. And then I tried to carry it one time and it was so heavy. I think it was like, I don't know, it was too heavy for me to carry. And then I had back pain and it started with maybe 100 after 100 km, it started immediately, and I did not know how to handle it. I was just able to cycle with standing and then sitting again, and I thought, okay, when it's maybe I can't finish the race because it was really bad. But after some, after I think 200 km, it was better, and then it was okay. But when I came in into the finish, after the finish, I wasn't able to walk
Oh
because my back
man.
was so blocked. It
Oh
was
shoot.
crazy.
What did you do kind of after the race then to take care of that? Was it just lots of rest or you stretching, mobilizing, that kind of stuff?
First I had to travel with all my bags and things like that alone. So that was also not ideal for my back.
Shoot.
And then at home, I tried to just stretch a bit and try to recover, but I had to go, I think 2 days after I arrived back home, I had to go to the next race to Finland. So I just prayed that my back will be better, and then it was better. But I talked to my coach what we can do better, and we figured out a stretching program that it's maybe not coming again. So,
Yeah, that's good. Hey everyone, it's Kyla, and I just wanted to hop on here and let you know that if you are racing in the next 3 months, it is time to start your sweat testing and gut training. We are working on that with all our clients right now that are going to be racing in the next 3 months. And it is something that you definitely need to train for, especially if you're someone who ever has GI issues. So I do recommend getting on our calendar, ideally at least 3 months before your event, so we can help you go through the sweat testing and the gut training progression and do some race simulations to optimize your fueling performance. So if you're ready to get started, check the link in the show notes to schedule with us, and let's get back to the show. Do you aim for so many like grams of carbs per hour? I know you mentioned you have your plan with your hydration. Do you have one also for your carb or caloric intake as well?
Yeah, I discussed it before with a nutrition coach.
Mm-hmm.
She supported me last year several times.
Nice.
Because I know her from my coach, and so that was good. She gave me advice how to how much carbs I should take during the 1 hour. So mm-hmm. I went with 80 grams per hour.
Nice. Awesome.
And yeah, and also the hydration, she gave me a number, and that worked well for me.
Great. That's awesome. Yeah, the carb world and carb intake per hour is such an evolving space. It's really fascinating to see.
It changed a lot. It's,
yes.
Crazy. For me, it changed completely during the last race.
When
I think about how I did it the years before when I raced professional on the road, it's completely different. And I sometimes think why I did not know all these things before.
Oh, man. Yeah. And is it different in the sense that like there was less fueling before? Or was it different types of fueling that you're doing with the road cycling?
Both.
Yeah.
It was less, too less. And also just things I did not know, because I was in teams where we did not had a special brand.
Mm.
They just bought what they got. And then they put it into our bottles. We did not know how much is in and what is in. And yeah, we just had to take it. And sometimes in stage races, I started, and after the first day, I had so bad stomach problems and just felt not good.
Yeah.
And I know if I had this knowledge I have now, I would have performed a lot better, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing once you find a product that like works well with your digestive system when you're pushing hard. So, and that you can stand like the consistency and flavor too once it like is 108 degrees in your bottle. Let's see. So we talked about hydration and nutrition. Did you do anything in preparation from a heat kind of management perspective in leading up to the race, outside of, I mean, Gravel Locos, was that a toasty, was it pretty hot?
No,
for that race?
Yeah, that was crazy because the day before it was very hot. I came from Germany and I arrived in Texas and it was so hot. And I was thinking like, I like heat, but that was a heat we don't have in Europe, I think.
Yeah.
And then on race day, it was really cold because
oh.
a thunderstorm came in the night and, it started like during the night, and in the morning at 6 o'clock, it was really, really cold and I was freezing on the start line.
Oh man.
And during the race, it was okay. So
there
was no heat adaptation for unknown.
Oh man, shoot. And did you do anything on course to help cool you, whether like when you met with your group at the aid stations, was there ever any like, I know some people do like the ice socks or...
Yeah.
Does that...
We had ice socks,
mm-hmm.
but I did not really like that. On the nacken,
on the neck,
on the neck, I liked it, and then they also put it to my back because of the back pain, but that was not ideal for me. But yeah, we worked with this ice pack.
Good. That's good. Yeah, those are definitely helpful, and outside of the back pain after the race, what was your kind of, and what's maybe typical for you actually post a race, but with regards to your recovery nutrition, do you tend to have an appetite to get some nutrition in shortly after the race, or are you someone who's no appetite for a while?
Yeah, I'm, I, I actually have always appetite, so I don't have problems with this.
That's great.
And after such a race, I'm really looking forward to something salty because during the race, you just have like these gels and liquids. So I'm really looking forward always for a pizza. And I told my team when I was in the finish that I need a pizza, and they delivered me a pizza. So that's all I need. But I also take always a recovery shake.
Like a
Just for,
protein recovery shake. Yeah.
protein and carbs
Awesome.
together. Yeah.
Is that a Martin product too? I forget. Do they have a
No,
recovery? No. Okay.
Martin does not have recovery products,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
Yeah. What carbs do you mix in? Is it a powdered carb or do you do like real food kind of smoothie style carbs in your recovery?
No, it's pre-mixed. It's from
Pre.
Power Bar. I use this
Oh,
one.
nice. Yeah.
And yeah, my nutrition support, she told me that this is a good one
Yeah.
because
That's
it
great.
has everything I need. And when my training was really intense, I put a banana, or I add a banana so
Yeah.
that I increase carbs a bit.
Nice. That's
Yeah.
awesome. And now that the se is the season started for you, have you raced yet this year, or are you looking forward to an upcoming race soon?
Yeah, I did one race in Girona, but I did it completely like a training race, or nothing with a focus on. And I'm looking forward to start my season in on 7th of April in Austria on a
Okay.
UCI gravel race. Yeah.
Awesome. And are you going to be coming to the States for any more gravel races?
Yes, I come for Unbound for
Okay.
sure.
Awesome.
And then also for SBT in Colorado. That's also something I'm really looking forward because I do an altitude camp before the race.
Great.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking about the race in October also, the last race of the Grand
This
Prix,
is that the
the Big
Squamish
Sugar.
one? Big Sugar.
Big
Okay,
Sugar, yeah.
yeah, that's a
Because I saw
fun.
it I saw the race last year and it looked really, really fun and also like a season ending race. So yeah, maybe. I don't know yet.
They usually ride mountain bikes on that one, right? Is
No,
it Big
no,
Sugar or
no,
no?
no,
No. Oh,
no,
okay.
no. That
Maybe
was
I'm thinking
gravel
of.
race. When I'm right, maybe you are right. But I think the last one I'm talking about is with gravel race. It was
Okay.
gravel bikes.
Yeah. I think there's I'm picturing another one then that where they I remember they were on mountain bikes and it's like a shorter, I think it's like 50 or
Yeah,
60
there's
miles.
before, I think 1 week before is one they do with mountain bikes.
Okay. Yeah. And did you ever come from a mountain biking background at all, or were you straight into like the triathlon road bike and then road cycling?
I also did mountain bike
You
like
did.
marathons, yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
But it's hard to train it where I live because we have
Oh.
no trails and no technical things and
Yeah.
just flat land. So it was hard to be competitive in this
Yeah. Wow. Are you at altitude at all, or are you lower where you
No, we
live?
are completely sea level.
Oh.
It's the lowest part of Germany.
Yeah. You're like me. So I have a couple quick fire questions, and then we have time for our audience listener questions, then we can do our two truths and a lie. So quick fire questions will just be kind of like one or the other options. So first one, for example, is do you prefer climbing or descending?
I prefer descending.
Do you prefer solo or group rides?
I like both, but group rides are more fun, I think.
Do you prefer tubeless or tubes?
Tubeless.
I think everybody's tubeless these days. I feel like I'm sorry. Do you like a little mud on your trails, or do you like some sandy, dry terrain?
I'm
Muddy.
a
Awesome.
muddy eagle.
I think we might know the answer to this one, but gel or a real food bar during training?
I'm doing training a real food bar,
Real food
but in
bar, awesome.
race jail, yeah.
Yeah. And then salt capsules, or do you prefer to drink your electrolytes?
In the drink. Electrolytes.
And then post-workout, we might know the answer to this one too. Post-workout protein shake or a real food meal?
Both.
Yeah, get it all in. All right. Okay, so some listener questions here. First one we have is, any advice for girls or women who are interested in getting into gravel biking and not sure where to start?
I think it depends where you live. Here in Germany, it's not too easy to find to get into the sport, but I would say it's best to find a group who's doing gravel rides and then find a club where you can maybe find people who are going to races.
Yeah, awesome. And let's see, how do you conquer any fears of intimidating trail sections?
I think you don't need to think about too much about it, so just do it. And if you start to think too much about it, it goes wrong. So sometimes it's just like close your eyes and do it. But yeah, actually I can learn a lot still from with technical skills with on the in gravel. So I'm lucky that I have, for example, next week a training camp with Canyon. We are just doing like technical things and
That's
descending
great.
gravel bike.
That's awesome. And let's see, what's your favorite dinner before a big training day or race?
I'm a big fan of rice with fish and vegetables.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Awesome. And kind of, I'll take a spin off that one. What's your race morning breakfast that you like?
Oats. Oats with banana.
Nice.
Very
All right.
simple.
All right. And last one is, what are your favorite snacks? I guess this could be outside of training.
Outside training, cake. Every part of or every kind of cake. I'm a big cake fan, like apple pie or things like that. Yeah.
Awesome. Keep the carbs coming in to fuel the engine there.
Yes.
Awesome. So those were all our listener questions. So I'll circle us back to our two truths and a lie. So we had, when you were a teenager, you hated cycling and preferred to lay on the beach during your holidays. That most of your school time was in a Catholic private school taught by nuns, and that you like playing chess on your free time. Amanda and I thought the chess was the lie. Which
You're
one?
right.
We're right. Yay. Awesome. That's great. So when you were a teen, was it just like you just weren't into didn't find cycling yet at the time, or?
I thought cycling is really, I did not understand why people go uphill on a bike. I saw when I was in the car, I thought, okay, why are they going on the bike? It's so uncomfortable. So
Yeah, that's funny. And do you play any board games or things like that in your free time? Just chess is not one of
no, that was why I chose this lie, because
them.
I'm really not a fan of playing games. So my family is a big fan of that, and they always want to do that, and I'm always like, no, I do other things.
Follow me on
Yes.
the bike. Oh, that's funny. And then actually one of my questions, I think I was reading an article. Do you also work full time as well as a pro athlete?
I did last year, and I had a half part job in the bike industry,
Oh, nice.
and but I also have a bike shop with my partner. And so, but last year, end of the year, I stopped working with my other job, and now I'm full professional with my bike shop. So
Amazing.
when I have time, I do things in the bike shop here, and when I'm on the road, I do everything I can do on the computer, like communication with clients and
That's
claims
awesome.
like that.
Do you coach any clients or
No,
just no?
no.
And what's the name of your bike shop for any of our
It's
listeners in Germany?
it's Riha Bikes, Riha.
Bikes.
Ah, yeah, it's in Bremen, a really small shop, but we are focused on gravel and road and yeah,
Awesome.
high performance.
That's great. Awesome. And then let's see, going into this year, you mentioned a couple races. Is what's your what is your A race for this year? Is it Unbound or
Yeah, it's Unbound and SBT.
SBT. Okay.
And
Cool.
also my again yeah, last year I got national champion gravel. It was the first time we had it in
Yeah.
Germany.
Wow.
And yeah, I would like to to stay in the jersey this year for sure.
Awesome. That's so exciting. Okay, where can our listeners find you, follow you, all that fun stuff?
I think the best is on Instagram.
Okay.
I'm there with my full name.
Awesome.
And I also run a podcast with my friend Paul Voss. He's also a really good gravel racer, so we are
Awesome.
talking about gravel. It's in German.
Okay.
Last yeah, sometimes we have also guests in English language, but mostly in German. But yeah,
Okay.
there we
Perfect.
talk about everything what happened.
And Amanda, we can direct our friend Carolyn to listen to the podcast because she speaks German. Of our mountain biker friends. Awesome. Well, that's so fun. So we'll put the links for Carolyn's Instagram and the show notes for our listeners so you guys can find and follow her and her journey. And then also I'll just throw out the YouTube series, the Lifetime Grand Prix series. You were featured on there quite a few times too. Have you watched that yet from last year?
You mean the from Unbound
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, so they can watch that too, the Unbound episode of on YouTube. But yeah, I think they did a good job with those
Yeah,
videos.
it's
So
nice. Yeah,
yeah.
it's really cool to see how it was and how hard it
Yeah.
was.
Yes. Yeah. All the like drone footage of the mud and yeah, really puts it into perspective. But yeah, this has been so fun talking and learning from you. And we're excited to follow along on your racing this year and we'll be cheering from afar.
Thank
And
you.
yeah, thank you again so much for your time, Carolyn.
Thank you for having me.
To stay up to date with the Nutritional Revolution recent activities, follow Nutritional Revolution on Instagram and Facebook, and sign up to receive the Nutritional Revolution newsletters on the Nutritional Revolution website. If you guys enjoyed today's content, please hit subscribe below to stay up to date on the latest Nutritional Revolution posts. Have a healthy day.